Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Raiders Talk Podcast. And finally, we have reached draft week. Josh, how pumped are you? As our resident draft expert, you must be excited for this week, or just a couple days away now.
Almost Christmas morning. Let's get to it.
I know, and it's been mock draft season with a Z for you and Dalton Johnson for a long time. I decided to join the party yesterday or last night / this morning with a full Raiders 7-round mock draft. You're going to do a worst case scenario Raiders mock draft tomorrow. Yeah. Challenging and interesting, to be sure. I also throw out a mock only using championship players just to see what I could do with five programs.
Right.
Built a pretty good team.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, let's focus kind of on this 7-round mock, and maybe not take it for exactly what's going to happen, but use it as a launching point for what the Raiders want to get done, their ability to move around the draft board, and opportunities that they have to go one way or another. Just a real quick rehash, maybe not of all seven picks because nobody likes reading names. We can kind of work through those. Yeah. But just the essence of the top block, what I did for those who haven't seen it on the website, I encourage you guys to do that, NBCSportsBayArea.com. I have the Raiders staying put at number 12, and I have them taking Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver from Alabama.
Yep.
We've talked a bunch that I love CeeDee Lamb, so do you. Mm-hmm. I sort of think that CJ Henderson may be a good pick there because of the positional top heaviness of the cornerback spot. I have him off the board as well. Jerry Jeudy is not a consolation prize, though. Still very good. So Jeudy at 12. I have them trading at 19 with Baltimore down to number 28, and they pick up a second round pick. So let's just focus on that before we just start again reading names and boring people to death. The Jerry Jeudy pick, I looked at it, and even though I said, well, he's the third option for me, I think he's really a pretty dynamic fit for the Raiders. And while Peter King wrote that Mike Mayock is in love with CeeDee Lamb, that he's the most complete player or wide out in the draft, I tend to agree. Jerry Jeudy's not the world's worst wide out. I think he's a very good scheme fit. And given that he has run pro style routes and a pro style offense, the transition to the NFL should be pretty easy. I think Raiders fans would be pretty excited to get Jerry Jeudy at 12.
Yeah, no, I think when we talk about the receivers, you know, like we talk about, you know, do you want a Maserati, an Aston Martin, or a Bentley, right?
Right.
What's your fit? How do you feel? We both love CeeDee Lamb. Mike Mayock apparently loves CeeDee Lamb. He's probably not going to be there. So, okay. Yeah. Jerry Jeudy's the most polished receiver in the draft. He was going to be a top five pick before this season when everyone overanalyzed four drops that he had and decided he all of a sudden wasn't a top five pick. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have put together the Antonio Brown skills mirroring with him and Jeudy and how the Raiders could just kind of plug him in where Antonio Brown was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great pick. I still think John Gruden would probably like to go Henry Ruggs, but I think Mike Mayock, given the clout he has and how much Gruden obviously trusts him, I think he could probably talk him into Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, I think Mike Mayock has some street cred now because he's gone through this, and the Raiders have a foundational draft class, especially from the second and third days where he was near perfect. But before we move on to the trade with Baltimore at number 19, let's focus on the composition of the top 10. You and Dalton Johnson have been doing mock drafts for a long time now. You've analyzed it to death. You've looked at it. You know all the trends here. The composition of your top 10. We talked about it before we started this podcast. You have three quarterbacks, four offensive tackles, Isaiah Simmons, Jeffrey Okuda, and Chase Young.
Yeah.
And you guys are starting to mock trades in there.
Right.
Is that kind of a ballpark for how you think that it's going to go in terms of the offensive tackles dominating proceedings, and why is that? And will that allow some other dynamic players to trickle beyond the top 10?
Yeah, I think so. We get these, you and I get these questions on Twitter all the time, what prospects could slide to the Raiders. And I think it starts with the tackle heavy teams. The Giants need a tackle. The Cardinals, I mean, if they don't get a tackle, Kyler Murray's not going to be winning any more awards from Josh Jacobs. Yeah. So that's not going to happen. We know the Browns need one at 10. And then I think the Bucks we have trading up to 9 because you didn't pay Tom Brady $50 million to let him get teed off on. Mm-hmm. They don't really have any answers at tackle. So I think four tackles, the three quarterbacks, obviously, Burrow, Tua, Herbert. And then you get a couple of defensive stars, and then maybe a guy like Derek Brown does slide, or maybe a guy like CJ Henderson, who you think can go in the top 10 and apparently is on the rise, whether that's a smokescreen or not, could also fall.
Yeah, and so there are maybe more, from what I'm gathering from you, there are more top 10 worthy players than are going to go in the top 10 because the offensive tackle class is A, good, and B, there's a strong need. Is it both, or is it more need than quality?
No, I think it's both. I mean, you have ESPN stats info projecting Tristan Wirfs to be a 98% all pro.
Wow.
Mekhi Becton, 97%. Mm-hmm. Andrew Thomas, 90%. Jedrick Wills, like 79%. So those are pretty much four looked at surefire tackles mm-hmm. at a need position. So I think it's both need and skill.
So in that theory, it could push some of the wide receivers down to where at least the Raiders have an option, right? That they could get to 12 and have Lamb, Judy, and Ruggs, or they could have Lamb, Judy, Ruggs, and Henderson, or they could have a couple. But it seems like they'll have at least two of those four, would you say?
I would definitely say that worst case scenario, they're probably going to be staring at Ruggs and Judy or Judy and Henderson.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's the world's worst scenario for them. I think that there's a lot of reasons why, and we've talked a lot about CeeDee Lamb to this point, the yak yards, the ability to create separation, the competitiveness, the nose for the end zone. Jerry Jeudy, though, right? Before he became this high volume target guy, I mean, we saw in person in the national championship game, the guy goes 64 yards for a touchdown or like whatever it was, that he used to be their big play threat. And yeah. I think he's more capable of being functional on all three levels. That's another thing that I really like about him. What do kind of analysts and coaches say about his demeanor? Because we get a lot of this Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy comparison. And sometimes Amari Cooper's become like a four-letter word around Raiders fans, even though he's got 5,000 yards in 5 seasons, 3 Pro Bowls, a ton of production with some injury, maybe some drops, and maybe not an attitude that fits with John Gruden. But what do you think about that, about that comp? I mean, Amari was always sort of aloof, I guess. Is Jerry maybe more passionate? Insights on his demeanor and competitiveness?
Yeah, no, I don't think that he is aloof in the way that Amari's seen. I think even when Amari was at Alabama, you'd see Nick Saban or, you know, Steve Sarkisian or Lane Kiffin kind of call him out, maybe jab him a little bit to get a little more fired. That never happened with Jeudy at Alabama. He's a team guy. He loves to win, super competitive. So I don't think that's going to be an issue if the Raiders do pick him.
So moving on from number 12. Oh, just so in your guys' mock draft, you had the Raiders taking who at 12?
Henry Ruggs.
Was Jeudy off the board, or did he choose – he chose Ruggs.
Yeah.
So in your kind of alternate reality, yes. I guess with Ruggs and Jeudy on the board, I pick Jeudy, you would pick Henry Ruggs because of the Tyreek Hill factor, or –
Yeah, I think just the overall, the ceiling is higher if everything works out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, moving down the board to where the Raiders have the number 19 pick, when you make up a trade, not only do you have to go to a trade chart and do the math and kind of figure out what is a fair and balanced deal,
yeah,
but you also have to come up with like a You have to use your imagination to create a reason why that team would want to trade up.
Yeah.
My reason was this. Baltimore has 2 second-round picks at 55 and 60, so they can afford to lose one.
Yep.
And their biggest need, in my opinion, is an off-the-ball inside linebacker. Kenneth Murray, again, in this fantasy world that now we're now creating, mock draft season with a Z. So Kenneth Murray still on the board. The Ravens are in go-for-it mode right now, so they trade number 28 and their second-round pick mm-hmm. to the Raiders for number 19 and the fourth-round pick, which is number 21. So that was kind of the way that I came about it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I thought a trade was necessary was because I think, I'm curious to hear what you think. I think 19 is kind of like a no man's land, right? Where the top tier cornerbacks are probably gone by 19. Even the top tier defensive tackles maybe gone by 19. Maybe Kinlaw slips, don't know. And I would assume the top three wide receivers are gone.
Right.
And Justin Jefferson, great player, more of a slot guy, in my opinion, not what the Raiders need. So I think 19 is not a great spot for the Raiders, and they need a second round pick. So 28 was my choice. And here's where we're going to throw daggers at each other. I chose TCU defensive tackle Ross Blacklock, who is a fringe late first, early second round prospect. This is late in the second round. It's not an immediate need at that three technique because they have Collins, who they just signed in free agency. The reason why I was so gung-ho for him is I just keep thinking about how integral it is for interior pass rush in the modern NFL. This guy, he is an ascending player, yes, with a bit of an injury history, but he's that modern three tech, about 300 pounds, can absorb double teams, a decent run defender. And if you can come right in and play right away, awesome. Then you got Collins and Blacklock and, Nassib and Crosby or Farrell, and you got a real defensive front. And that's such a premium that's why I thought that was the spot there. Some of the NFL – Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah has Blacklock as his number 19 overall prospect. Mm-hmm. Other people think he's a mid-second round player. You think that may have been a stretch at number 28, given the fact that they picked up 28 and 60, so you can't go get a cornerback until the 60th pick now.
Yeah, I think when we were talking about it, when we trade down in Dalton and I's mock, we have the Raiders picking up 30 mm-hmm. from the Packers and a second round pick to go for them to go up to 19. I think cornerback is such a huge hole, as we both agree. Mm-hmm. I can't see them not using a first round pick on a cornerback. I mean, I know we're going to talk about who you take in the second round at corner, but for me, I would trade down and grab an AJ Terrell, a Christian Fulton, kind of that 1B tier after Henderson and Okuda, who can still come in and play right away instead of gambling on maybe the third tier corners mm-hmm. and then address defensive tackle in the second or third round.
Yeah, I am curious though. When it comes to the second tier of tackles,
yeah.
I'm sorry, of cornerbacks, right? That we get rid of Henderson and Okuda, and then we have a lot of guys, right? You named a couple, Fulton, Jalen Johnson, Trevon Diggs, right? Yeah. How do you kind of rank those? Who are your favorites? It sounds like it's the Clemson kid and Christian Fulton, or.
Yeah,
I would feel about Diggs. Diggs never is kind of in that. I seem to like him, but you seem to like him less.
It's not that I like him less. I just, a guy who is described as athletic but needing work on technique doesn't really seem like something the Raiders want to gamble on right now.
Okay.
I like Trevon Diggs a lot. He's a great athlete, and he's got really good ball skills. Obviously, former wide receiver, so he's got a lot of potential. But I would just rather go with either a Fulton or AJ Terrell, two guys who play for championship programs like Trevon Diggs, but are tested at that level and have played really well. We got over 4 with Christian Fulton against Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, T. Higgins, 11 targets, 3 catches, 39 yards, no touchdowns.
Yeah, and it's been proven that Mike Mayock likes guys who show up in big situations.
Yes.
Trayvon Mullen is a perfect example of that. Jerry Jeudy could be an example of that as well. So I think that, so you guys took at 30, who did you take?
AJ Terrell.
AJ Terrell. So that would be if you were offering an alternate reality from my trade at 28, you would still take AJ there probably.
Yeah, we took AJ because we had Fulton off the board.
Okay.
I would probably go Fulton over Terrell if they're both on the board. Just that competitive demeanor. I think he'd really mesh well with what John Gruden wants to do. He's physical. He's tough. Like you said, he's battle tested. But I really like AJ Terrell. Long, lanky, handsy. He's a good corner.
Yeah, and I definitely could have gone corner there. And kind of the reason why I didn't is yesterday when I poured over highlights and analysis and all this, I kind of got a little man crush on Damon Arnette from Ohio State, who's a press man corner who I chose at number 60 as we're transitioning to the second round pick that the Raiders got. I was trying to get 55, but then I would have had to have given up 91. Anyway, so I got 60. Damon Arnette should be there, probably. Yes. He's a guy he could not be ultimately, but he's a guy, he's a press man corner, obviously. He's aggressive. He's confident as all get out. He's a solid run defender. And he's targeted maybe not a lot, but he's got Jeffrey Okuda on the other side, right? Yeah. So he sees some action, and I think he fits a pro style of offense. As a junior, he was heavily penalized, supposedly a bit brash and kind of unsettling in the locker room and on the field. He was real grabby and handsy. And I guess as a senior, maybe you can expand upon this, that he cleaned some things up.
Yeah, I think that's the reason he came back. I mean, you don't normally see Ohio State corners come back for their senior season. That doesn't really happen, as we've talked about. He had to come back. He was, like you said, very handsy, penalized often. Technique was a little sloppy. Had some quote-unquote character issues, however you want to look at that. Like you said, locker room being brash. But he was really good his senior season. Targeted a lot because people don't want to throw at Jeff Okuda. Can't really blame them. But it's not like he got torched. He was, I think, he had the lowest QBR against when targeted in Division I football.
That's good, I think. Yeah. So if we were going to play out using the Ravens trade, right, then maybe you would have taken Fulton or AJ Terrell at that 28 level. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now your cornerback need is satisfied. You don't go Arnette at 60. What is your alternate reality pick at 60? Is there somebody that
come on. You know who it is.
Do I?
You know who it is. It's Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
It's absolutely Chase Claypool.
I just wanted to say it out loud.
I have to. I'm gonna speak this into existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm gonna.
Yeah, I mean it was funny because I had him sitting at 80 all day until we texted back and forth, and eventually you were like, come on, man. Like it's just not as much as you want it to be possible and to wish it into possibility. It just seems really difficult. The guy ran a 4.42. He's built like a tight end. He's tall and aggressive and maybe not a perfect route runner. Right. But there's so much to work on.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, you think about a guy like Claypool matching with a guy like Judy,
right?
I think that that's with Renfro in the slot. That's really dynamic, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about it. Chase Claypool, 6'4", 240 pounds, 4'4", 240, only guy that big to run that fast other than Calvin Johnson. Good company. He can play outside. He can be a slot possession guy. If you need him in the red zone to do that, it's versatile. He's got everything you want. And I think, like you said, pairing him with Judy or Lamb or Ruggs, it makes the Raiders offense so much better than it was last year.
So if you hate Ross Blacklock, and hopefully they just quote tweet that, Josh hates Ross Blacklock so much he would never take him. Where are you going to fill this defensive tackle need?
Yeah, I'm just going to go in the third round, and I'm going to take Raekwon Davis out of Alabama.
Okay.
6'7", 320 pounds. He was going to be a first-round pick after his sophomore season, tailed off a little bit production-wise, but he's an absolute monster. I think you're getting first-round talent in the third round because of a drop-off over his last two seasons.
Yeah, and because I'd gone interior defensive tackle earlier, when we got to that third-round bundle, I had a lot of kind of mix and matches and orders, but linebacker Malik Harrison.
Harrison, yes.
from Ohio State. I think Dane Brugler had in his analysis said that he graded out as the best run defending linebacker in college football. That's an intriguing notion, because while he played Will Backer at school, he's 247 pounds. So you can put him on the opposite side at Sam, play him 25 snaps a game in a spot where you're going to see more rushing than you normally would. And you've got a legitimate run defender there for you. That's why, even though we've talked so much about them being set at linebacker, them playing at nickel so much, this is a third round pick that you could insert right there, probably better than Markell Lee, right? Yeah. And that, if you run into injury trouble with Kwiatkowski or Littleton, that's a guy that can play anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I think that he's a perfect third linebacker. That's why it was too attractive to pass up, even though there may have been some more needs that may have fit there. What do you think about that pick?
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. I think, if I were to do my own, like I said, I'd take Raekwon Davis, and then I'd follow right up with Malik Harrison.
Yeah,
or maybe Troy Dye out of Oregon, but that's just because I'm a huge homer. don't hold it against me. But no, I think you're right, especially if you've addressed wide receiver and cornerback and D-tackle. Adding a linebacker is still important. It's still a need. It's just less of a need.
Right. Now. And then at number 81, I had Zach Moss out of Utah, running back. I originally had A.J. Dillon out of Boston College. I think maybe I had him at 91 or something. Yeah, but he's kind of seen as a fourth round pick. He's 247. He's a different style of runner, obviously a physical stature, maybe the biggest pure running back in the draft class, definitely of the kind of maybe first four or five rounds. And you kind of talked me out of him a little bit at that range, right? Because I had traded the fourth round pick. That's no longer an option. And you look at Zach Moss and you think, I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched every game of his, but you kind of think, is he like a poor man's Josh Jacobs? You know, they're built almost identically in terms of about 220, about 5'10 on stilts. And they're good at inside zone. They're tough as nails. They both played through pain. Moss has had some injuries. But I just sort of thought, well, you don't have that. I think it's a good thing that you can run the same play that John Gruden can call the same play with a different guy who's also tough. It's not like one guy's a buck 85 and it's who's significantly smaller. And that's kind of why when you brought up that name, I thought, yeah, I could see this, that it isn't that opposing rushing style, but you can get another guy that can really kind of churn some things out. And you still have Jalen Richard, who is dynamic and can get outside as a receiver out of the backfield. That's why I went with him. I just thought Dylan, it just didn't fit too high there. There's some other opportunities for running backs. What do you think of the Moss pick? You obviously like it because you kind of nudged me in that direction.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great pick. I think part of the reason I nudged you in that direction is, as you talked about, same build as Josh Jacobs. It's a seamless fit. They can split carries. Zach Moss was, I believe, led Division I football in missed tackles forced, which is pretty good.
And that's what Josh Jacobs did during his rookie season. Yeah,
exactly. So I think it's a seamless fit. I covered A.J. Dillon when he was in high school. He's really good. He's really talented. I just like Zach Moss's fit better for the Raiders.
What about some other guys that may be third roundish players like Cam Akers out of Florida State? I can't pronounce the dude's last name, out of LSU. Maybe he's more of a second round player.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, yeah, probably more of a second round guy. He'll probably be the fourth running back taken, I would imagine, after Taylor Swift and Dobbins. So I imagine they'll be gone by the start of the third round. Cam Akers he's really talented. He's a bigger back. It wouldn't be a bad pick. I'm more partial to Zach Moss, or a guy we'll talk about later, Anthony Gibson out of Memphis, but he's more of a fifth round guy.
Okay. And then keep chugging right along here in the third round, last pick of the third round. I took wide receiver Bryan Edwards out of South Carolina. I spent most of my day trying to force the fastest guy that I could find into that slot, or try to find a reason why Chase Claypool could drop 80. Those are my two, projecting my wants onto what the Raiders need to do. I just thought my thinking there was that a speed demon would help the Raiders wide right away, even if it just changes the way that they're covered. A guy that can, you know, blitz it downfield. But in terms of raw speed, I looked at Texas, Devin DuVernay.
Yep.
Isn't that right? More of a slot guy, kind of a bigger dude, but he ran a 4.39. I figure he's not a real take the top off guy, but I thought good yak guy, he's tough. Mm-hmm. But maybe third round kind of didn't fit for him. I thought KJ Hill's a good slot receiver. He ran a 4.6. That,
yeah, right.
I don't know what to do with that. So he eliminated kind of the speed demon-ness of it, even though I think he's faster than what that 40 suggests. Mm-hmm. But I ended up going with a guy in Bryan Edwards, a guy that you had referenced, I believe, in one of your day two projections, mm-hmm. a guy that has all the height, weight, you know, size, yep. decent speed. You have some videos up that of him just making incredible catches. He maybe made the catch of the year last year. Yeah. The type of dynamic presence at X that if you, now we're again matching him with Jerry Jeudy at Z. Right. Okay, now you got a big guy. You can get rid of Tyrell Williams, save his money for another position. Right. Now you have a good pairing. Problem, right? And this is the real problem of the coronavirus era, this virtual draft, is Bryan Edwards broke the fifth metatarsal in his foot training for the combine and didn't participate and has been invisible during the pre-draft process with no way to tell people that he's better or on the mend or have teams look at that. Foot injuries are tricky AF.
Yes.
So teams are going to want to see that, right? Mm-hmm. And his camp has sent scans out to teams, but just like those virtual pro days, like the GMs don't, I mean, like, that's just like the best take. Like, there right. could be 10 takes, you know? So maybe Bryan Edwards, maybe a second round pick drops to the third. Do you think that's a reach? Where do you fall on the Bryan Edwards thing?
No, I really like that pick. And I wrote about him as one of the, I think he's a good day two fit for the Raiders. I think one of the things about this wide receiver class being as deep as it is there's going to be a lot of talented guys that fall to that third round. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, for your draft especially, because you didn't get Chase Claypool, as I would have, because I win GM of the year. You
don't. Yeah, true.
Because you don't get Chase Claypool. You get a guy in Bryan Edwards who's kind of like Chase Claypool, right? He's got all the size. He's got great contested catchability. He's not as fast. But as long as the foot's okay, you're probably getting a second-round pick at 91, which I think is a steal, especially for your draft. So I love the Bryan Edwards pick. And shout-out to when I did the day two receivers, the hidden gem receivers, someone tweeted at me about Bryan Edwards. I left him off the list. So thank you for reminding me whoever that was.
Yeah. And the thing about this being maybe riskier because of the injury, the kind of the unknown is it's, I'm not saying that number 91 isn't a valuable slot. It is. But if you look at the composition of the Raiders wide receiver core, if it takes him a while to get going or it takes him into the year to get his explosiveness back, so what, right? They've got Tyrell Williams at the X spot. He's fine there. And if he's healthy, he can do things downfield that Bryan Edwards probably could in time. And then you have your top tier guy. My point is that you're not putting all your eggs in the Bryan Edwards basket, right? Mm-hmm. That you already have your top wide out. If it takes him a while to heal, you know, again, foot injuries can be very tricky.
Yeah.
It gives them a little bit more leeway that they're not counting on this guy, which is why maybe I was more comfortable at 91. Now, and again, I've given away their fourth round pick. I could also see them maybe packaging 80 and 81 are pretty valuable points wise. That's something that if they wanted to surge up that they could do. I think more than likely they could take one of those third round picks and try to maybe push some quantity down into the draft, maybe. To see what they got. And then just real quick, most people aren't going to know fifth round picks. At number 59, I took edge rusher Jonathan Garvin out of Miami. This is another flyer, right? He's only 20 years old. He's bigger than Arden Key. Arden Key is only about 235. Jonathan Garvin's 260, mm-hmm. 263, 6'4". He's built like a prototypical 4-3 base defense, and he can look like a world beater one snap. And then the next two, he looks like an also-ran. He just doesn't have the consistency. He doesn't have the technique. But I thought, okay, in the fifth round is kind of moments where I think, you know, and I went all big schools, right? Like, I don't have a single small school there on my list. And so I went big school again. Maybe this is a small school flyer, find the next Max Crosby, which was a good story that you wrote that people should check out. That I went big school, high potential, give him to Rod Marinelli as the fourth end.
Sure.
And let him work for it. Let him work for a year. You probably couldn't get him in the sixth round. That's that was my thinking there.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think when you get into the fourth, the fifth, the sixth round, you're looking for one elite skill, right? Which is what they found in Max Crosby with his burst. And that's just what they're going to look for. I like I said, Anthony Gibson, running back out of Memphis, just because he's really explosive. And if you're looking for speed, you know, he 14 touchdowns and 77 touches last year. That's pretty good. So I don't mind.
Fans ask me about him a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of give us some detail about his background. He's only got maybe 35 career carries, kind of an athlete, but it seems like he's projected as more of a backfield presence.
So Memphis, he was an athlete, a quote unquote taser, as it were, basically just find ways to get in the ball. Cause they had guys like Daryl Henderson, you know, other running backs who got the bulk of the carries. But I think with his size, he's going to be seen as more of a change of pace back, a guy who you can just find a way to get the ball in his hands and he can break it. He's got huge home run ability. So I think he's a guy in the fifth round that, I mean, the Raiders could certainly look at, just like you said, if they don't take Ruggs and they need that speed just to change the way defenses defend them, Anthony Gibson could do that.
Yeah. And I think if you give John Gruden weapons, he's good at using what he's got. We saw when tight end was a strength and wide out was a deficiency, we saw a lot of times two and three tight ends working, maybe one as an H-back, one in the slot, one in line. So he can make use of guys like Anthony Gibson. And I do think it's pretty clear that the Raiders want a bigger, quote unquote, bruiser. But again, if you're 223, you can run between the tackles.
Yeah.
So that was the mock draft. I don't have any picks in the sixth and seventh round, and I couldn't be more thankful for that. Trying to find a seventh round pick to match in is like throwing darts blindfolded. But nonetheless, here, just to kind of let people know where we are, we have podcasts Monday, kind of detailing the seven round mock, kind of where the Raiders stand. And it seems like you and I have the same idea of what the Raiders need, kind of in the same pockets of where they need it, maybe in different order with different players. I like Diggs more. You like kind of Fulton and AJ Terrell more, you know, and we're both big CeeDee Lamb guys. Maybe I'm more of a Judy over Ruggs. You may be Ruggs over Judy, right? So we have some discrepancies, but I think we're generally in the same ballpark in terms of what the Raiders need and what their priorities are and how they can get it done. I think with the players that we named, you never know how they're going to turn out, but I think they would give themselves a real opportunity to have a successful draft class, which brings me kind of to our final point and back to the trade at 19, right? They could even trade it at 19 and trade down again if they want. But that trade at 19, finding a partner, even if it's not maybe necessarily to their advantage points-wise or in their favor points-wise, I think a trade down is pretty key to them achieving all of their objectives. In your draft, you had them trading down, I'm sorry, to 30?
30, yeah.
To 30. I had them to 28. Maybe that's ideal because you get more in return. But that trade seems essential to me. Maybe they ship 12 if things go awry, but I think trading 19 is, I'll just call it vital. I think it's vital to what they need to get done in this draft.
Yeah, I think the only way I see them not trading 19 is if a guy like, you know, whatever, if Derek Brown is still available at 19, or there's some sort of game-changing prospect that they didn't think was going to be there. But like you said, if it plays out as we expect, 19 is basically no man's land for what the Raiders want and need. So I think trading down and picking up a second-round pick is really, really important to rounding out and making this class as good as it should be.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to be the key thing there. And, you know, and if they trade down and they get that second-round pick or something between 40 and 60 that they can use, heck, then you can trade down there, or you can use your third round picks and trade up, and you can move around the board and make efficient use of the arsenal that you've been given. Mm-hmm. One thing I don't want to see, though, I don't necessarily want to see them trade down for 2021 draft capital. Mm-hmm. I think given that this is, you're going into Vegas, right? You're trying to make a splash. You feel like you were 7-9 and you're on to something.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's necessarily the time to do that, right?
Yeah. I would agree. I don't think that's how they should approach it. I don't think that's how they will approach it. I think they'll, Mike Mayock will want to make this draft class for this year be just as special as last year's and really build momentum going into Vegas.
And then just one last thing before we wrap up what has been a pretty long pod. So there was a report out there that the Raiders, if Tua falls a little bit, that they may kind of jump up and like him. I think I read a national story. I would give credit if I could recall it, but that Mike Mayock thought that Tua was the only truly selectable quarterback up top. That's not something that I would do, right? Yeah. I don't know how far down he would have to fall before that becomes interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Is that at all interesting to you?
It's interesting just because you're talking about the guy who was the supposed number one pick 6 months ago, right?
Right.
But I mean, the hip, the ankle, like there are reasons he's falling, right? It's not because of on-field production. Mm-hmm. So I do think, of all the prospects who could slide, I think I would rather see the Raiders trade up or sniff to trade up for Isaiah Simmons, Jeff Okuda, Derek Brown than I would to a, mainly because we talked about it. The good thing about having Derek Carr, whether you think he's the franchise quarterback or not, he is a starting NFL quarterback who allows you to focus on building the rest of the roster mm-hmm. and not gamble on a top 10 pick on a quarterback where if you miss, the rebuild's set back 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. Carry forward the positive momentum. And we're going to do that on the Raiders Talk podcast because we have two more podcasts this week. Yep. But the preview podcast, my friend, finally done. Now we can talk Thursday night. We will have a pod post first round to talk about everything that the Raiders did. And then a Friday pod about what the Raiders did in rounds 2 and 3. So it should be really intriguing. Again, stay tuned to the website. We always thank you guys, but just subscribe to YouTube and iTunes and Google Play and all that kind of Stitcher and all that stuff, Art19. Plenty of ways to get in touch with us and stay tuned to the website. Lots more good preview stuff as we head towards Thursday. Thank you, Josh. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.